Good day, friends. Nice to see you again. It's a beautiful spring day here in Brooklyn, and it's a blessing to be alive. It's a blessing to know Jesus as our Savior. And it's a blessing to be able to hold in our hands the Word of God and to be able to read it and to pray and to seek the Lord together. So let's ask God to bless our time in the Word today. Father, thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We praise you for that, and we thank you that the entrance of your words give life and give light. It gives understanding to the simple. So we pray that your words will enter, will be unfolded to us today, and that light will shine in, and we will have understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, or find it on your phone, and we're picking up with verse 12. I'd like to read just 12 through 14 again. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. We see here the emphasis for a Christian to produce that the life that is within by the Spirit of God, that life would produce green leaves and fruit on the tree. The command to produce a life of obedience is in verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's the command. And here are incentives to work out, to produce this life of obedience, whether or not anyone is watching us or not, in my presence, Paul says, or in my absence, whether anyone is looking upon us or not, here's a great incentive to do the right thing, to live for Christ. God is at work in us, verse 13. God is at work. It is eminently worthwhile to live for Jesus. Once we are saved, we've trusted in Christ to forgive our sins and to give us eternal life. The life to be lived is for Christ, and it is worthwhile to live for Christ. It is worthwhile to walk with God. I think of that wonderful brief testimony of a man in the book of Genesis. His name was Enoch. It says, Enoch walked with God. What a testimony. I trust that can be said about me. I trust it can be said about you, that we walk with God. And that's how we'll be remembered when we're gone, that we were a man or a woman who walked with God. We knew the Lord. We loved the Lord. We lived for the Lord. So he says here, produce, work out your salvation. But understand this, it's not self-effort. It is God who works in you. What an encouragement to know that God is at work. The possibility of change, we were talking about yesterday. I am so encouraged by that in ministry. God saves sinners from darkness, puts them into the light. And in the light, we begin to change. Old habits begin to go away. New things begin to come into our lives. And we need to be patient with one another, patient with other believers. There was a ministry years ago that had a little button, and it had a bunch of letters on it, and the letters stood for this. It was just the first letter of each of these words. Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. That's exactly right. God is working in us. He's not finished with us. His end goal is to make us like Christ. But he wants us to be obedient to him, to seek after him, to love his word. God uses his word to make change in us. Notice he says here in verse 13, it is God who works in you both to will. the desire to do the right thing, the decision to do the right thing, ultimately, that comes from God. So we need to cooperate with the Lord. Is the Lord convicting you to spend time reading His Word? Is the Lord convicting you to develop a fuller prayer life? Well, praise God for that. Cooperate with that leading, that direction, that desire to make a decision, to have spiritual progress. Is the Lord working in your heart to make you a witness to others, to be an encourager to others? Well, then praise God for that. So God works within us to give us the will, the desire, and He gives us strength to carry it out, to do it, and notice, for His good pleasure, to do the things that please the Lord. Ultimately, all the glory, all the credit goes to God. The New Testament teaches crowns that are rewards for believers. Well, what are we going to do with those crowns? If we are blessed to receive a crown, what are we going to do? We're going to give it back to Jesus. We're going to put it at His feet. It's not for our glory. It is for Him. It's for His good pleasure. And so we live and breathe and serve and minister, not for our glory, not for our credit, but for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His all for us. Thank the Lord for the power of the Spirit of God working in us and through us to bring glory to Him, to fulfill His good pleasure. Well, notice verse 14. Here is another incentive to produce a life of obedience, to work out our salvation. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Isn't that great? Do things without murmuring and disputing. I remember some years ago when I was on a deployment with the Air National Guard, or I visited the unit in their area, and one morning, it was a Sunday morning as I recall, it was discovered that someone in packing up for this venture, this exercise, that someone had forgotten the coffee. And so here are these airmen and officers, and they're going to the place where chow was being served, and there was no coffee. And then one person began to blame another as to why there was no coffee. I think there was a coffee maker, a big coffee pot, one of those great big things that hold many cups, but there was no coffee. I want to tell you, you should have heard the murmuring. Oh, people were so disgusted. I think one guy threatened that he was going to quit. You say, well, that's really ridiculous, and it was. But you know, when things don't go our way, we can so easily murmur and gripe. I love the Greek word here for murmuring. It's one of those words that sounds its definition. And so Paul says, do everything without gaguzmon. Gaguzmon. Just say that a few times. Gaguzmon. You put it in a low voice. Gaguzmon. Sounds like murmuring, doesn't it? Well, we can have gaguzmon in our lives a lot. And we can murmur and gripe when our expectations are not met. Isn't that what we do? When things aren't just the way we want them, when our comfort zone has been infringed upon, then we can gaguzmon, we can murmur and complain and make everyone else miserable as well. And, you know, as a coffee lover, I love coffee in the morning. It does not give me a right to murmur if someone forgets to bring the coffee. How about something not quite right at the church potluck dinner? I remember some years ago, also in an Air Force setting, but it was very different. It was in a chapel setting. It was a breakfast after sunrise service. And there was a colonel who attended this, and there were children there. Well, sometimes when children eat, they get a little messy. But praise God for the kids. We need the kids. We want the kids. And I remember this guy murmured. I should say this officer murmured. How sad to murmur because maybe someone got a few crumbs on the floor or their face was a little messy. Let me ask you, are you murmuring today because of quarantine? Are you murmuring because maybe you don't have something that you normally have? Are you murmuring because someone in your life hasn't quite done things the way you would want them to? They haven't fulfilled your expectation, and so you're murmuring. Paul says one of the ways that we demonstrate the reality of our faith in Christ is we serve, we work without murmuring. And then the next part he says here was disputing, to argue, to get into a fuss and to argue because also things aren't quite the way we want them. You see, Paul is writing from being imprisoned to the Philippians. They are in Philippi, a Roman colony, and he says it's very important how we carry out our Christian faith. Does the world around us see and hear and listen to our murmuring, our arguing, or do they see the beauty of Jesus Christ in us? Sometimes our faith that we have in our head and our heart can be very detached from our actions. And that while we may know that we're saved, we know that we belong to the Lord, we're not living it out. And one of the ways that it can be lived out is by demonstrating Christ-likeness and not murmuring and disputing. It is rather disturbing when you're in a line of traffic. It happened just the other day to me. I was maybe the fifth or sixth car back from the stoplight, and someone behind me honks. It reminds me of the funny story of someone who had a bumper sticker that said, "Honk if you love Jesus." And so someone was honking and honking and honking behind him at the person who had the bumper sticker. And that person, presumably a believer who loved Jesus, got out of the car and started yelling at the person who was honking there, "What are you doing?" And the person said, pointed to the bumper sticker. May we not be those who murmur and dispute and honk and get impatient and then disturb and hurt our testimony before a watching world. Sometimes it's in very little things that our testimony shines. We can murmur and dispute when we have to stand in line at the grocery store, when we have to wait in line at the gas station. May God help us to work out our salvation, to cooperate with God who's working in us, with the Spirit of God who would give us long-suffering, and do things without murmuring and disputing. May the Lord help us. That is an incentive to working out our salvation. Well, one of the reasons that I enjoy praying for countries in the 1040 window and countries that are on the persecution index is because it really helps put things in perspective. Yes, we're here under quarantine in America, but you know, there are believers in Jesus Christ who have it so much incredibly worse than we do. And are we going to complain because we got to stay in our comfortable homes and we have plenty of food? Well, let's go to believers through prayer in Cambodia, a nation of about 15 million people, and they desperately need the gospel and they need Jesus. Let's go to China, a nation of 1.35 billion people, and let's pray for believers there. China is number 13 on the persecution ranking. Our Father, we come to you today asking forgiveness where we have murmured and disputed and argued and damaged our testimony. Lord, will you please forgive us? And will you, by your Spirit, work out the reality of our salvation by showing patience and Christlikeness? Lord, we feel small when we think of believers in Cambodia and in China, bereft of many of the privileges and blessings that we have. Lord, will you help them? Will you encourage them today? Will you multiply their numbers? Lord, will you provide the scriptures to them? Provide scriptures to believers in China, a communist regime ruling there. We pray, Lord, for Christians in Wuhan. We pray that their testimony will be strong. We pray for those who have been inflicted with the virus, that you will heal them, you'll raise them up, and that their testimony to others will be very strong. We pray for also the church in Cambodia, that it will grow, that it will be multiplied. Father, we ask for your help today. We ask for healing to those who are with this virus. We pray that you will bring glory to yourself through this. And Lord, get the attention of our leaders and the attention of people, that we would turn to you and cry out to you for your help, your strength. And may your word be multiplied during this time and reach many hearts, we ask in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Well, God bless you, dear friend. Thank you for joining us on Bible Sunshine. I trust we'll see you tomorrow, and that God's light, his love, and his life will shine in upon you today. God bless you.